إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وقائدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you. I continue by testifying that none is worthy of worship, devotion, absolute worship, absolute devotion, absolute love besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I continue my testimony by declaring that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger and the servant to all of humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whomever is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, no one can guide except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to receive the gift of guidance, none can take it away. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of this khutbah to allow us to be from those who receive His grace, His rahmah, and His huda, and His shifa through the gift of the Qur'an and through the teachings and the model behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. My brothers and my sisters, in the last few khutbahs, we covered, that I personally had the humbled opportunity to deliver with you, we covered some sections of Surah Al-An'am. And today, inshaAllah, we will look at the ending of Surah Al-An'am. But just to recap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes the message of Surah Al-An'am, the themes of Surah Al-An'am, in ayah 36 to 40, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ وَالْمَوْتَى يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ آيَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْنِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ والذين كذبوا بآياتنا صم وبكم في الظلمات من يشاء الله يضلل ومن يشاء يجعله على صراط مستقيم. These are beautiful ayat, very powerful ayat. And the ending is even more beautiful. The whole Quran is beautiful, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember at the very beginning of the surah, the main argument is people are asking, give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign. Yes, we're willing to believe if you show us something clear, if you show us something that transforms us, something phenomenal, something material that is able to really challenge our perceptions, then we're willing to believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us through the entire surah that it doesn't matter what sign comes, they're always going to find a way to interpret it in a way that suits them, in a way that fits with their schema. They're always going to find a way to interpret it. It's just magic. Do it again. Well, let us see this version of the sign. Let us see it again. What if you deluded our eyes? What if you tricked us? What if it was an illusion? They're always going to find a way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes the entire discussion and He says, إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ Only those who can listen are willing to hear. Only those who can listen are actually going to hear the message. If you don't prepare yourself for the message, if you're not ready to listen, if you're not ready to intellectually engage in a humbling conversation, if you're not ready to challenge your presumptions and challenge your preconceived notions, if you're not willing to put aside your personal desires and personal ambitions that get in the way of the truth, if you're not willing to put aside your desires, your whims, you're not ready to listen. So everything that comes, you're going to interpret. Imagine how many signs Fir'aun and Musa have seen. Musa, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manifested to Fir'aun. And every single sign that he saw, from the river becoming bloody, right? From the locusts, from the flies, from the sea splitting,
physical, real physical signs, but it didn't change much. Because there was too much to lose, there was too much power on the line. Yeah, well, it's just magic. He's actually working with you. He accused Musa alayhi salam of being the teacher of magic to the magicians. Imagine, outrageous claims. But these are the ways that human beings try to rationalize. And I mentioned before, my brothers and my sisters, that subhanAllah, the same exact thing was said by Richard Dawkins, who's a very popular anti-religious writer, anti-religions writer. He's a popular atheist who popularized some forms and notions of atheism. He said, he was being interviewed and he was asked, what would it take for you to believe in God? And he said, and at least it's an honest answer, he said, I was thinking to myself that it would probably take something phenomenal, like someone walking on water or some crazy physical miracle. But then I came to realize, when I engaged in deeper thinking with my colleagues, subhanAllah, shayateen al-ins wal-jinn, that they can be shayateen from the humans too, who allow you to further solidify your kufr, subhanAllah. So when I spoke to my friends, they kind of challenged this assumption and said, well, is it the chance that anything you see is actually more magical than it is divine and miraculous? I mean, for example, isn't the case or the chance that if I see someone walking on water, isn't it more likely that it's just a magical trick, an illusion like David Copperfield, that it is a sign from Allah, a sign from God? So he says, actually, I came to the conclusion that it doesn't matter what I see, the chance of it being divine or miraculous is always going to be less than the chance of it being a magical trick. So he's sealed his own deal. Nothing doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I'm able to, or what data, what else I see. I'm always going to find, in the back of his mind, he's already has an interpretation for it. The surah goes through this conclusion over and over again. And towards the end, my brothers and my sisters, or actually in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they say, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And they say, if only Allah were to send a sign to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of sending any sign. But, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of them don't know, don't already know what there's already there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٌ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. And there's not a single beast, an animal on this land, that walks on the land, that crawls on the land, and not a single bird that soars through the sky, except that there are already signs for you. There are already signs for you. You want signs? The signs are already there. Look at the birds in the sky. Look at the animals on the ground. Study them in detail. And you'll find, subhanAllah, the ones who actually take time to study, you know, the specialists within microbiology, the specialists within even evolutionary biology. You speak to them and you tell them, just honestly, what do you think? And they'll tell you honestly, the best answer that they can give is, we don't know. We don't know. And that is the most humbling of findings, that is the most true of findings. At the end of the biggest conferences, there's always a disclaimer. We've come this far, we know this much, but in reality, it's only 1% of what is there to discover. And there's so much more to know, and it's humbling to be a part of this conversation. But then what happens to the youth who don't actually engage in proper science? They use it as an excuse. You know, someone, it's actually been statistically found that those who say the reason I don't believe in God is because of science, is because their understanding of science is very primitive. They're probably just taking a few courses in biology in high school. They're taking maybe an introductory biology course, and that's it. So there's no depth in the knowledge. SubhanAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala already tells us in the Quran that if you look around you, the signs are already there. So the argument here is, those who are asking for a sign, it's as if they're asking for a candle to be lit in broad daylight. Imagine, they're saying, light us a candle, give us a candle, give us a sign. But what, are you going to light a candle in the middle of the broad daylight? The sun is already there, full of signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already created the universe full of signs, and yet we're asking for those minor signs. And now I turn, my brothers and my sisters, to the end of the surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
after going through many examples, and I encourage you to read the surah, but I'm sandwiching those two beginnings and ends to encourage you to read the middle on your own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, and he gives him a very beautiful statement. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, O Muhammad, وَإِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then a few ayat later, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قَيِّمًا in another riwayah, مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is such a beautiful surah from beginning to end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, after Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammad, after you've made it clear to them that this message is from Allah and that they have to accept it and they have to heed to it, remind them that many before have become divided only after the signs came and only after the truth became clear. Right? وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. That the people of the book before, when there was no message from the divine, they were actually united. But when the message came, they started to divide over its interpretation. They started to divide over how they're going to understand it, how they're going to apply it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, actually, إِلَّا بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. They started to divide, بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ, out of jealousy and hatred. One would say, oh, you interpret it this way, I need to add a new interpretation. So forget what this guy says, this is actually how you read it. So everyone looks at the divine sign from Allah, which is the Qur'an, the message, and tries to interpret it in their own unique way as a way to present themselves as an authority, as a way to say, hey, look, this is my perspective and it's unique. So the truth gets lost in all the interpretations, which are just self-driven at the end of the day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslims, this is the message for us. Don't be, right? وَإِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. This is the clear, straight path from Allah, so follow it. And don't let the subul cause you to divide. Don't let the alternative routes and paths and all these interpretations and noise cause you to lose the main core message. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end, He tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. This is so beautiful. And this is the thing that I want you to take from this khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who what? فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. I want you to imagine that religion is like a piece of a pie. It's a piece of a pie. And I want you to imagine someone comes in and he or she likes one part of the pie. So they take that part of the pie and they say, this is the religion. And they focus on it so much. This is the deen of Allah. And what happens? Someone on the other side looks at the other side of the pie and says, you know what? Those guys, they're just focusing on this aspect too much. And they forgot this aspect. So they become the counter voice to the other voice. Actually, you know, this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they forget that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an exhaustive, it's a complete, it's a full way of life. A great example of this is those who emphasize the methodology, the strictness and the discipline within Islam. Like you have to be methodological, you have to be this, you have to be that. And it's very strict and it's very stern. And on the other side of the pie, we have those who say, what? You have to be kind. Those guys are too rough. You got to be kind. You have to be understanding. The Prophet was full of akhlaq, akhlaq, akhlaq. So you have people who are focused on the methodology and the strictness. And you have others on the other side focused on the akhlaq. But the reality is Islam encompasses both. And there are times when the Prophet Muhammad manifested the best of akhlaq. And there are times where he manifested the best of discipline simultaneously. Many times he manifested both. So what happens is, groups begin to focus on portions of Islam and begin to divide them. They begin to divide. فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. Allah doesn't say فَرَّقُوا أَدْيَانَهُمْ. It's فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. The religion which was one, they took it and they started to divide it. And in other ayat, كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون.
Every group begins to be proud. Actually, we are the real, true advocates of Islam. We are the true representatives of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in consequence to the rest of us, do not be less than minhum fi shay. Those who do that, those who seek to divide the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reduce it to some of its parts or one of its parts, do not be in any way, shape or form associated with that type of thinking, associated with that type of call. Rather, always remind my brothers and my sisters, each other, that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete. How do we know that? From the ayah in the Quran. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. I have on this day perfected my favor upon you and completed your religion for you. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. I have accepted Islam to be your way of life. What a thing, what a statement from Allah Himself to tell us as Muslims. I've given it to you as a gift. But what happens? The noise, all the interpretations get in the way. And of course there are positive interpretations. It's good to get into the detail and it's good to get into the effect. But you have to keep the larger picture in mind. You have to keep the larger picture of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in mind when we're talking about Islam and when we're studying Islam and when we're teaching Islam. And look, my brothers and my sisters, at the last few years, imagine those who took on the notion of, you know, we're going to just focus on the political aspect of Islam. Those said we're going to focus on the outreach aspect of Islam. No, we're just going to focus on the educational aspect of Islam. No, we're going to just focus on the social justice aspect of Islam. No, we're just going to focus on the, you know, integration aspect of Islam. And every group, you can focus on those specifics as long as you remember that that's just one part of the whole. But don't ever claim this is it. Everyone else, what they're doing is wrong. What they're doing is useless. What they're doing is nonsense, right? We are the ones that are actually carrying the message forward. They're just noise, they're distractions. No, there has to be that mutual respect as long as it is within what the Prophet Muhammad has mandated to be acceptable. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad. My brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجَزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. You know, when you look at the interpretation of this ayah, the Mufassirun, the classical scholars of the Quran, what they've said, the literal translation here is, whoever comes with a good deed, Allah will give him 10 times what he's presented, which he's presented. And whoever comes with a negative or a bad deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him like it. You do good, you get 10 times. You do not so good, you get rewarded or punished for what you've done. But the ulama here actually say the hasana. You know the ulama, what Ibn Abbas said, what is the hasana? What is good? What are we talking about here? What does good mean? He said, La ilaha illallah. You know what this means? That means this ayah comes after the ayah that warns against division. And the ulama of Quran, he said, this ayah is talking about the attempt to unite. So whoever comes with an attempt to unite the Muslims will be rewarded 10 times like it. Whoever comes with the reminder of La ilaha illallah and begins the message with that, and begins the outreach with that, and tries to unite the Muslims upon a correct methodology, he will get, or she will get 10 times like it. And whoever comes up with a bad, you know, sometimes have bad motivations, bad intentions in their message, is to stand out. I want to stand out. I want to be unique. I want the institution to shine. What is everyone else doing? Oh, no one is doing this. We want to do it, not with the intention of filling a gap, but with the intention of standing out and taking credit at the expense of others. So that's what we're talking about. Whoever does that will get compensated for that ill intention. But subhanAllah, people will then ask, so what is this deen that you're talking about? Because there are so many versions of Islam. Imagine a young individual will say this, a young student. What is Islam then? You know, if you take an introduction to Islam class at the university, that's what's being told. There are so many versions of Islam and so many variations. There's no such thing as Islam. There are just Muslims. So don't study the religion, study the people. Because we can see the people, but we don't know what Islam really is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already defines what it is in the surah, the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, O Muhammad, when he asks this question, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي. Tell them, indeed, my Lord has guided me to a path that is clear and straight. إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قِيَمًا and qayyima to a path, a way of life, a methodology that is firm, that is established, a way to live, a way to stand. What is it? Millat Ibrahim Hanifa wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. The teachings of Ibrahim, and he was a Hanif, he deviated from everything else that was corrupt, he turned away from it, and he was never a polytheist. And what is this deen that we're talking about? Tell them, قُلْ إِنَّا. I want you to remember these four categories of this deen. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي. Tell them, O Muhammad, that my prayer, my ritual, for many people this is religion. Religion is just a ritual. It's between you and God, at home in your masjid. You go and you pray on your own time. Religion is just a relationship with Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, tell them, indeed, my religion, my prayer, qulina salati, my prayer, my ritual, wa nusuki, wa mahiyaya, wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. This relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through ritual is just one of four categories. And they all have to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the message of Islam. That is the teaching of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is how you make sure that deen is complete, not to be taken in one of its components and reduced to one of its structures and subcategories. Tell them my ritual, the way that I pray, the way that I give, the way that all the rituals, my hajj, my fasting, those are the things that I do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rituals. Those have to be done for Allah in the way that Allah has ordained. But not just that. Salati wa nusuki. All the rites, R-I-T-E-S, right? All the rites that we do have to be done. All the social rituals, the marriages, the funerals, right? How I'm going to dress. All that falls under nusuk. Nusuk. Any sha'air, any rituals, any social conventions, any norms fall under sha'air. So the religion doesn't just include the religious, spiritual rituals that are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it tips over to how we get married, how we divorce, how we speak, how we communicate, how we dress, how we speak. Wa nusuki. All of that falls under the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people say, yeah, we just read Quran, and you know, it's just an hour here, an hour there. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَمَحْيَايَ and my life. Now this is a big question. What do you mean? How do I live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My source of income, my source of livelihood, my business dealings, my interactions, my purpose in life. You know, you ask someone, what are you living for? That has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or based on the methodology that is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your life as a whole, the reason you're here, the reason you get up in the morning, the reason you go to school, the reason you go to work. Imagine, what do you say when people say, why are you choosing this program? Take a high school student and ask him, ask her, why are you in this program? Do you hear the response? You know what? There's a gap in the world. And I want to fill it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that Allah can guide me in fulfilling it. And I've investigated all the options and found this to be the most halal way possible. Compare that to someone who goes through a degree, gets the job, and then comes back to the imam 40 years later. Sheikh, my source of life, my income is haram. What do I do now? Right? See, at least, alhamdulillah, you're catching it better late than never. But the idea is, before you even pursue anything, any career, any choice, academically, intellectually, socially, before you belong to a group, before you join an institution, is this going to help me meet and achieve the goals and the standards that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my ritual, my social conventions, my norms, my attire, my fashion, that definitions that I employ, all that is part of nusuk. وَمَحْيَا and my life as a whole. وَمَمَاتِي and even my death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a big, how does death become for Allah? How do you dedicate your death for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And of course, one of the ways that the Mufassirun have mentioned is you die in a way that Allah is pleased with. You stand up for a right, and you die upon that right, even if no one else is willing to embrace that right. But others have said that upon death,
Your charisma is inherited. Your charisma. And charisma not in the way that we define it usually, but charisma meaning your legacy. The things you've stood for. You've built a kingdom. You've built an empire, a financial empire. You've built an institution. Now what's going to happen with the institution upon your death? Were you doing it for your family? Were you doing it so that your children can have a better life? Or were you doing it to promote and to advance and to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So even your charisma, the way that you die and what you leave behind after your death, and the reason you leave it behind after your death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine if we actually live by those four things. My ritual, why am I praying? Why am I fasting? Why am I giving zakah? Yeah, you say it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but are there really subconscious or secondary or peripheral intentions? Are you praying to be known for prayer? Are you giving so that you can be remembered as a generous individual? Are you donating because it's going to affect your institution and advance your cause and increase your name? All those other reasons. For Allah, that's what we're being told. For Allah and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And my ritual, my social conventions, my articulations, my definitions, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا شريك له. And I have been commanded that I will not associate any partners with him. وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. And this is a command that I am implementing from whom? From Allah. This is not, no one is coming up with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly telling us this. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And by doing this, I become the first among the Muslims. Does that make sense? Not the first of Muslims, but the first among the Muslims. You know, Muslims, you can stratify the Muslims. There's the part-time Muslim, there's the Muslim who does, you know, but then there's a top, first class of Muslims. Awwal al-Muslimin. The first category to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ones that Allah will raise the most and perhaps test the most. The ones that will attain the highest level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya through test and in the akhirah through grace and forgiveness, that's them. So my brothers and my sisters, we ask ourselves at the end of this khutbah if the signs have become clear to us and if we know that this is the path that Allah has chosen for us to follow. And if we believe that in our mind and in our hearts, then it's time to follow through with the implications through our actions, choices, decisions, commitments, and priorities. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لكم السائر والسلام. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم قبلنا وتقبل منا واجعلنا مقبولين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليه مولاه رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا مسلمين مؤمنين صادقين قانتين راكعين ساجدين آمرين بكل معروف ونهين عن كل منكر. ولا تجعلنا كاذبين ولا منافقين ولا حاسدين ولا ضالين ولا مضلين ولا مضلين رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا في الدنيا لا إله إلا الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله. واجعل آخر دعاءنا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة للصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا مقبولا.